Welcome, everyone, to How's New York. I am your host again, Robert Howe, and we are talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We are broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. We have as our guest tonight Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing and Ina Mamadova of Kaleidoscope Toys here in Bay Ridge on 3rd Avenue. Welcome, Jason, to our show.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
We're doing great, thank you. Jason, tell our audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll launch into the topic of this evening, social media, marketing, and how that all can help the small merchant.
Sure. Well, Rising Tide Marketing was started two or three years ago by myself and my partner, Ellen Vigilante. And what we set out to do was become the small business marketing department for Small Business USA and meet all the goals of our clients in marketing, advertising, digital marketing, social media, and branding, what have you. Anything that they need done, we go out and do it. And we've been thrilled to be invited to speak to the Merchants of 3rd Avenue tomorrow night at their social media seminar at Bebo.
Yes, that's one of the highlights of our meeting. And we also have on with us, do we have Ina Mamadova on the line with us?
I don't think Ina has joined us yet.
Okay, so we'll chat for a few. Jason, why is it so important? Why is it so important that businesses involve themselves now, even beyond just being on the internet? I think an internet presence is almost a given, but now that has blossomed into Facebooking, Twitter, LinkedIn, Foursquare, all of these sort of check-in places. Why is that now the evolving concept for small businesses?
Well, it used to be that you needed to be listed in the phone book, and then you had to have a website once the internet came on the scene. And really, this is just the evolution of that. The telephone evolved into the internet and websites, and now that has evolved into the social media and the social networking aspect. And it's really just another form of communication. It's just a way of having your consumers be able to reach you and talk to you and interact with you. And that's really at the heart of all of the social media craze. It's just that it's a highly interactive environment.
So tell me if I'm wrong. So besides having the cash register, the inventory, a nice-looking store, potential customers are looking for more than that, right?
Yeah, they want information, they want content, they want to be able to reach you 24/7, and there are ways to do that even when you're not physically talking to them, and that's how you do that through the social media channels. And it's just people want information. We consume information at an unbelievable rate, and the social media environment has allowed us to really share things in an unprecedented way, whether it be sharing video, sharing audio, sharing thoughts, sharing links, sharing photos. It's just an amazing way for us to commingle with people, can be the consumers or be them the peers or colleagues. It's just a tremendous information.
So I think I hear you saying a couple of things. People want more information. They want to know specs. They want to look at pictures. They want to be able to turn the pictures upside down and rotate them in 360-degree fashion. But they also want to somehow interact with the merchant and know that the merchant is more than just this one-dimensional character on the internet. They want to know about their promotions. They want to know about their employees, events that they sponsor, things that they do in the community. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. And I think we've got Ina on with us now. Maybe we'll let Ina field this one as it relates to interacting around the community. I think she's a pretty solid expert on this subject. So let's bring Ina in to the conversation. Hey, Ina.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hello, Ina. Okay, tell us your business and what your role in that business is before we begin.
I'm one of the other owners of Kaleidoscope Toy Store located on 8722 3rd Avenue, and I am pretty much responsible for all the marketing and the design and creative side of it, all including in-store product placement and so on and so forth.
You know, we were talking about why merchants in this day and age are now adding Facebooking and Twittering and blogging and LinkedIn and Foursquare and all sorts of interactive social tools to their inventory of, you know, besides just having the register and a counter and a nice salesperson and good inventory, why are you merchants now finding you have to add these other tools to your arsenal?
Well, aside from that, are you know, beyond millions of people are online every single day, every single hour, and every single minute, and basically it's to reach your potential customers and retain current ones and throughout interaction and engagement and just getting your information out there for them to see that, you know, you're basically just like them and you can relate to them and they can relate to you. And
yeah, that's
just
interesting. That's
important.
The point I was trying to get at. So you're saying to me that some of your clientele don't necessarily just want to walk into your store and buy something and walk out. They want to know a little bit about Kaleidoscope, what other things they do, what they're involved with, the community things that they do, maybe pictures of the principals and your employees. Is that what we're getting at here?
More or less. I mean, basically social media, Facebook, and everything else, it's intertwined so heavily into our daily fabrics of our lives, and it's just second nature that when you wake up or whenever else, it's just, you know, the first thing that you do. And more we're noticing that, you know, different generations are starting to join Facebook or Twitter or other platforms to sort of see what is being said about that particular company or brand or organization before they even attempt to go there and shop or do any business with them as whatsoever. Because nowadays, consumers are trusting each other more and they want to be heard more than, you know, the actual ads that they see, and then they're so apparent, and they're less likely to actually fall for the ads. So they'll trust the consumer more so than as opposed to a brand or a business, and that's why it's kind of for them to feel it out first before they interact with them.
I'm sorry. I also think that a lot of factors that are contributing to this is the changing world. The world has gotten very small. And the way things used to work, where big business would just use a shotgun approach to reach consumers, it kind of worked. It worked for a long time. And in a lot of ways, that plan, that blueprint has dramatically changed to where now, as a consumer, I can tune out and turn off and just stop listening to the constant stream of messaging from advertisers in such a way that the advertisers are now marketing to the individual, because now the individual, through the the improvement of technology has been enabled and empowered to have their own personal network through their own personal branding, and whether that network consists of 100 friends on Facebook or 1,000 Twitter followers, big business and small business alike are recognizing I need to tap into that network of the individual. And small business is also benefiting from this technology in the sense that they can now almost seem to have the same clout and impact as a big business when it comes to their reach by the same ability of improving technology. They are empowered and emboldened by the fact that you can use numerous resources to market your brand, your product, yourself, and it goes for small business, big business, and the individual. The playing field has been leveled like never before.
So you're saying a small merchant, by using the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Google Pluses, can really compete with the big guy, and that on the internet you're all basically the same size. There's no big store or small store. Once you have your presence on the internet, you are all the same size.
More or less, to a degree. I mean, obviously they're going to be able to put more money behind upping their SEO and making themselves appear higher on a Google search, but in your own niche market, in your own region and area, and local businesses have the ability, and really it's not necessarily something that they need to look into as, well, I could use this, I could employ this as a marketing tool. It's almost a sense that you have to. It's more of everyone. This is the changing world, and the landscape has changed so much that you need to have a presence because your competitor has a presence, and he's using all these resources to put himself out there into the world and spreading his message and his branding. And if he's doing it, you should be doing it too. And if he's not doing it, you should be doing it to get a leg up.
Ina, tell us from a merchant's point of view, what are some of the things that Kaleidoscope does on the social media and marketing front?
Well, we really do everything from, consistency is very important. It's quality over quantity. And we post probably 2 to 3 posts a day, one of them being a riddle that we have that's outside every day, and we incorporate that into our strategy as well. And other way of interacting, such as, you know, when we get new product in, or even because we are an independently owned store, we are able to actually do other things that the mass market maybe really can't because they are under a magnifying glass. So we can post up like silly images of, you know, what we got in, and comments, questions, we'll do poll taking, and just events as well, and distribute the content and distribute our information using Facebook and Twitter, and basically convert that communication that happens to potential sales and increasing your revenue and obviously having more profit at the end of the day. And that is the most important thing.
Could Kaleidoscope exist without this?
It's basically you're missing out on free money, more or less. So you could, any business, I mean, I wouldn't suggest it nor recommend to kind of have a business without implementing these free tools or very inexpensive tools that are very simple to use if you kind of attempt to do it. We could exist, but what would be making us much profit or potentially, you know, increase our profits? Absolutely not.
And
I think you'll hit a wall. I think what Ina would experience would be a real hitting of a wall, and where she could only take something so far or take her business so far without employing these tools. I think someone else can carry the ball a little bit further and not only outpace, but really just make it hard for a merchant to compete, because the tools are not only so easy and really a majority of them are free to use, but they're so powerful too. Their reach is exponential.
Yeah, I think I hear both you and Ina saying that this free is a huge, huge factor. And I hear Ina also saying that she can market a new piece of inventory immediately and directly to people who might be interested in that. Is that correct, Ina?
Yeah, absolutely. It basically provides instant information to, you know, that people are able to access through their iPads or smartphones or computer or laptop. And it's amazing how much of feedback you actually get back, and people are involved. They feel important. They feel like they're part of your brand. They feel part of your company, and that's the whole point of this, is to engage them and interact with them to make it feel as a whole. So, yeah, it's pretty instant.
And do you get feedback from your clients who walk in, customers who walk into your store? I saw you on Facebook. I saw your tweet. What sort of feedback do you, if any, do you get from all this, your social media efforts?
We definitely have people that would ask us questions online, like Facebook or Twitter, in terms of whether we carry a product or not, or if we have something or not. Or then, for instance, if I would post up events or any other information of a particular item, then they would come in and literally say, like, oh, I saw you, you know, you tweeted or you put a Facebook post that you got this and you have this, and I saw this picture. And, you know, I read riddles all the time. Or, you know, when we have riddles, I normally direct them if they don't want to feel awkward coming in the store and harassing us for the answer. I just direct them to Facebook or Twitter, and I just tell them that we posted there every single morning, and they can interact with us there. So, yeah.
You know, I think you have to make your riddles a little easier, because even I can't get them. It's like a New York Times puzzle sometimes. Or what does that show? Are you as smart as a... A fifth. I don't even bother reading them anymore because I can't figure that out. But good job. It is actually a brain twister. Makes people look at it and think about Kaleidoscope for a couple of minutes, which is the essence of all advertising.
And that's another aspect of it is that it's a creative way that Ina is choosing to use social media. She's not straight selling and constantly pushing a product on people. She's using it in a way to, like we said before, interact in a way where people might say, this is fun, this is interesting, I could share this with a friend, I'm going to definitely repeat this riddle later on. And it's a way of branding Kaleidoscope using social media where it's not a constant sell.
So Jason, what do you recommend to your clients? Do you recommend a mix of both the hard sell, I have this new product in my store, along with, oh, by the way, you may be interested in this event that's going on or this information that I want to share with you? Well, what sort of mix of information do you recommend to your clients?
Well, you do need a healthy mix. You want to promote your brand and your product and let people know, hey, I've got this going on. If you're a brick and mortar and you've got an event going on, or if you've got a new product, or there's a special deal going on. Obviously, it's made for that, but you also want to keep in mind that people buy from people, and they want to get a little bit of personality. And like Ina mentioned before, it's not so much the quantity, but the quality. They want to feel a little bit of your personal flavor and your personal brand. And obviously, with a lot of our clients, we try and inject a little bit of humor and make their voice sound different than a generic run-of-the-mill post or upload or comment. You know, it's all about the personal branding. And one of the things we do, I mean, we're a business-to-business service company, so we also like to do that for our own sharing. And one of the things we do on Pinterest, which is a new social media channel, is we took a board and we spotlighted the Oscars, and we decided to talk about some of our favorite Oscar nominees or classic Hollywood stars and say, this is what's going on because it's topical, it's relevant, we want to get in on the conversation. So it's all about how you join conversations.
All right, so let's talk about who's using these. Who's both, which merchants are using these, and what kind of customer is also using this? Ina, why don't you give us a heads up on what type of merchant is, maybe give us a little demographic example of both the merchant who is using this to its utmost and the client or the customer who is employing this the most.
Well, the beauty of, the beauty about using, for instance, like Facebook, for instance, they provide you with free insights, which are your demographics, and you can overview them basically based on your age, the city, the country, how they got to your site, and so on and so forth. So for us, it would definitely be between the ages from 25 to 44, and mainly, obviously, females, followed by males. Then Brooklyn would be the next popular, obviously the city that's more popular. There's other ways who's talking about it, meaning us, and that would be the same between 25 and 44, age bracket, once again, mainly female. And even when to talk about the content that we do post, the trend that basically we noticed is that we engage more when it's something a little bit more personal because it's our industry that we're in, is a toy store, and we reach out to parents and grandparents and families as opposed to it's not such a corporate feeling.
And Jason, what's your take on this?
Well, touching on it is a little bit geo-targeted to the results you can get back and see the information about your demographic for your clients and your customers, and you can get very localized and regionalized. But in addition, you can kind of look and see which channel is being used by which consumers. Pinterest is mainly women. It's very, very woman-dominant for the people that are on that site. Twitter and Google Plus is mainly guys, and Facebook is kind of that universal unisex place where it kind of just breaks all of the boundaries. So you can identify where your customers are spending their time online, and then you can address and craft your message for each place. It's not like you have to say, I just need to pick one place and spend my time there because they're all the same. They're really not. The way you communicate on each one is different. Each one is populated by different age groups and different genders. So you need to make sure you have a consistent presence on each one.
All right. Now, Ina mentioned, the age bracket up to 44. Unfortunately, I don't fall into that age bracket, Ina. So what should I be doing? What should a 44-plus person be doing to engage themselves in this?
Well, it's not like it's not existent. It's just it's a small percentage by comparison to the age bracket that I did give. That was just the more popular one. And it's still maybe like 10% less, but it's still there. We normally, emails, and we do still use newspapers to get the word out there in terms of like our events or, that we're there. But mainly it would be emails. Everybody's pretty comfortable using it, I think, I hope, nowadays. But because I guess it's not such a high-targeted market that we're currently going after or, that our industry is in, it makes it less relevant. So therefore, we'll focus more obviously on not even what the numbers tell us on Facebook, but more or less throughout other various resources when we do our market research. So it's just targeting the demographics that we can get, I guess, that can be used most effective.
All right. I understand that both of you are putting on a program tomorrow for the merchants of Third Avenue. Jason, why don't you give us a little outline, then we'll have Ina tell us what her role in this program is.
Well, basically what Ina and I are doing is we're going to be speaking to the merchants of Third Avenue to basically kind of bring them into this fold here. And if there are any out there that are still reluctant or hesitant to get involved, we're going to try and show them that there's nothing to be afraid of and there's really no reason why they should put this off anymore by giving them a little bit of a crash course, basics, boot camp, if you will, and just show them that you need to be aware of what's out there that can help you advance your business and move it forward. And we're going to spotlight a couple of the bigger ones and show you why each one is different and, you know, how each one can help you, from Facebook to Twitter to LinkedIn to Google, Google Plus to Pinterest to some other digital tools that you can employ to augment your online footprint.
And Ina, what role are you playing tomorrow night?
I actually will be introducing as well as going over and providing tips and tricks on how to use Facebook, the essential things that you should be doing already, and how you should be setting up, as well as giving a glimpse of the new timeline that will be implemented for business profiles as of March 30th, so people can kind of, you know, get a feel for it and not be so discouraged or intimidated by it so much, and just show everyone the back end that I've noticed actually a lot of businesses, they don't really have a business page set up. They have a personal profile page, which is absolutely a huge no-no because they can lose that account literally today or tomorrow if somebody from the Facebook company, let's say, comes across it. It's against all the regulation of Facebook, the terms and conditions. So that's like a huge priority that, you know, I'll be sure to emphasize on to converting from your actual personal profile that you have set up for your business to an actual business profile. And it's not that hard. It's pretty simple. It takes about an hour a day to basically devote yourself to Facebook and put up some comments, and you'll see how much change you can actually provide.
And I hope both of you are promoting this program tomorrow on your own social medias. Is that right?
Yep.
Absolutely.
And tell Jason, just give us an example of what you're doing to promote this.
I'm using Rising Tide Group's Google Plus page and our Twitter account, Rising Tide NYC. We also have Rising Tide Group on Facebook. And we've got a Pinterest profile for Rising Tide Group on Pinterest. And we're going to be talking about this tomorrow to let everyone know that the seminar is going to be tomorrow night at Bebo. And we're going to be putting up a radio show so that folks can listen to the broadcast and get a little bit of a preview and some background information on what they can expect from the seminar.
And Ina, how about you? Did I see a Facebook post from you about the meeting?
Yeah, I'm using both. I'm using my personal account. I'm using my personal profile as well as my business's my profile as well to kind of get the word out there and reach my customers throughout my business and then reach my family and friends through my personal Facebook and Twitter account.
And one last question. We have about a minute left. How are people accessing all of this information, the Facebooks, Twitters, Google Pluses, smartphones, computers, iPads? Jason, you first.
All of them. More and more people are accessing the Internet from their smartphones now, and smartphones are actually, for the first time, overtaking Internet access and sales of the laptops, but people are using their laptops, their mobile devices, their tablets. People just cannot get enough technology to get online.
Ina, how about you? What are you using and what are your customers using?
Our smartphones, computers, laptops, tablets, it actually comes pretty handy, the tablets and our smartphones, when we do off-site events. And there are things that, for instance, there is something called Square, which will be able to, which gives you an option to process credit cards right there at an event without an actual register. So definitely whatever we can to kind of make things as smooth and simple as possible.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. I want to thank you both. Wish you luck with your program tomorrow night at Bebo. And thank Jason Versace of Rising Tide, Ina Mamadova of Kaleidoscope for sharing their social media and digital marketing tools thoughts with us tonight. Thanks a lot, guys.
And thank
ladies.
You.
Thanks,
thank
Bob.
You. Have a great evening.
Have a good night, guys.
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show, and thanks to our guest, Ina Mamadova of Kaleidoscope and Jason Versace of Rising Tide Marketing, for sharing their insights with us. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.